I almost said good afternoon. Good morning. Who picked 11 in the morning? What up with that? I mean, so Robin says, can you speak on trumpets in San Diego? I said, sure. Later I find out it's at 11 in the morning. But you guys are worth it. More than worth it. It's a wonderful opportunity to be here with you in San Diego. Are we living in an exciting time or what? Right? It is an amazing time. Y'all know what happened to us up in Orange County, L.A. County. How many of you know what happened? Don't say anything. How many of you know? I'm shocked. I'm hurt. Becky, can you believe this? You're supposed to watch and prepare. We had an earthquake. What do you mean, oh, really? Yeah. At 11:30 at night. And yes, it did knock us out of bed. You'll hear about it. You might want to watch the news once in a while. So we've got to be back. We've got fires. We've got the plague, earthquakes. And Becky told me she heard in the news that the locusts are coming at about 4 o'clock this afternoon. So we need to get home. But this mask issue is really an interesting one. I've had some jokes with Mr. Weber. And he said, can you make it there? And he explained the protocols for that week. And I sent him back. Don't say anything to him, okay? I've got a couple secrets to tell you. So I sent back a picture of Zorro with the mask on, right? I said, is this the sign of Zorro with these masks? He was explaining when we haven't been in services in almost 4.5 months. So what is this thing anyway? The last 3 or 4 messages I've given, I was sitting in a chair at my desk with the laptop in front of me. So I got up this morning and I said to Becky, do I need to put on a suit? My pajamas aren't going to work today, are they? And we don't get to bring wine, do we? So I'm kidding. We don't have. Yes, we do. So it is good to be with you. The day of trumpets is an interesting. Oh, wait, I got one more thing. I got my notes here. The feast in Oceanside. Do you know how many people are signed up? 250 to 350 will be coming to Oceanside. Signed up. We're calling it does have a name, by the way, Skip. It is the feast that shall not be named. So it dawned on everyone pretty quickly that we had booked, made reservations, and we're going to have a wonderful time coming down here. But I guarantee you there will be hundreds of people. Not all will fit. We're only going to have services at this juncture for a couple of Sabbaths, the high days. But it will be a very interesting feast site. So if we don't talk to you in between, we do wish you a very, very happy Feast of Tabernacles. But that's the name of the feast, just for the record. It shall not be named. The Day of Trumpets is an important day in the what we'll call the rabbinic calendar, as we mentioned. There's going to be some overlap between Mr. Starwa's message and obviously what you've heard today. To the Jews, it is called the head of the year. That's why it's called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh is head, Hashanah is the year. It is the name of this day. They also know it as the birthday of the universe. They also know it as the day on which Adam and Eve were created. It's celebrated in many parts of Judaism, not for one day, but for, does anybody know how many days?
2 days.
Do you know why? It has to do with the Samaritans and the signal fires, those bad Samaritans, when they knew the other camp was lighting fires to notify everyone when the beginning of trumpets or Rosh Hashanah began, or trumpets at the time, they'd light fires a day before, 2 days before, 2 days after to confuse them. So they celebrate it just to be sure. It also begins, this day does, the 10 days of awe between the day of trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, and atonement. And it's known as this teshuva or repentance. So this day has a tremendous amount of meaning for them. It also begins something very interesting. Any of you that are once attended some Protestant churches, or especially the Catholic Church, you know about the lectionary cycle. Does everybody know what the lectionary cycle is? It's fascinating. You can show up in a Jewish synagogue in most sects of Judaism anywhere in the world on a given Sabbath, and you will hear what they call their reading. And they read from the same part of the Bible every where in the world on that day. It's called the lectionary. And so you can visit them. I'm not saying you should do that. But they go through the entire Tanakh, the entire Bible, every time once a year. It is a fascinating theory, so I'll give you a little bit of homework if you want some fun. Look up the word lectionary cycle, and you'll see that there are two or three theories that the New Testament books of the Gospels and the New Testament epistles of Paul are written around the holy days. Specifically, there is very few, if not all, of the epistles of Paul, and especially the Gospels, that do not speak of the holy days. We know that the Gospels do especially. So it's fascinating. It's also, if that wasn't enough, it's also a day of judgment. And the book of life is opened. A common greeting in the Jewish synagogue today is Shana Tova, right? How many of you ever heard Shana Tova? Oh, yeah, some of you guys need to get around a little bit. You have. Okay, good man. A couple of you have. Great. So Shana Tova means good, a year good. Tova means good. There's also another saying, Gemar Chatima Tova. You know what that means? May you be inscribed for a good year. It inferences the book of life. May you be inscribed in the book of life. We won't discuss the murky origin of the derivation of Rosh Hashanah, but there are some historical facts of importance. What was said in the first message is very true. Of all the holy days, the Day of Trumpets has got almost no ink. Go to Leviticus, go to Deuteronomy, go to Numbers. You'll see very little written about what we call the Day of Trumpets. It doesn't have a lot of reasons why it is celebrated, and so we must infer. There's another aspect of what they call the Hasidic secrets of Rosh Hashanah, and that will not be my theme today, but it is termed the Revelation of Malchus. Robert Kretmenzer states in his article on the secrets of the festival, on the festivals, however, even the average member is affected by the revelation of God, which radiates on that festival, on what they call Rosh Hashanah. Every soul can tune in to the level of godliness being revealed that day, this revelation. Malchus means, or Melech means king. The king is revealed. So this is the day of the revelation of the king. So today what I'd like to talk to you about as the fall holidays begin is to explore not a Judaic concept, but our own biblical understanding of one of these key factors of the Day of Trumpets. You want a title? I'll give you a title. The Day the Universe Changes, Revelation of the King. Now, to start off with, we don't live in San Diego, but we attend in the mysterious kingdom of Los Angeles County. And that's where our church meets. So we've been going through Zoom, and those that want to meet on the Church of the Asphalt, they have church for people outside. But we've been going through the book of Daniel for the last many, many months. It's been, in fact, over a year. We've been through 9 chapters so far, and it's taken me about a year. But I'd like you to please turn to chapter 12. Now, what I'm going to ask you is another favor, and I got a lot of favors to ask today. I'm going to ask you not to reveal to the people in L.A. that you're going to hear about chapter 12 before they do. They just got done hearing chapter 8 and 9, and now I'm skipping to 12. And it's a fascinating book if you've ever read the book of Daniel. To give a message on Daniel is really easy because it's one wonderful, incredible, mysterious story, or some prophecies, albeit, after another. It's very well written. So just keep it between us. It's our secret that we're going to Daniel chapter 12. The background of Daniel, as you may know, Jerusalem has been sacked. It's been leveled by Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. And the people have been taken captive to Babylonia, by the Babylonian armies. Daniel was a young boy, they estimate at the time. He was part of the captive group of Jews in the 580s B.C., and he, by chapter 12, had been there for all his life, decades and decades. They estimate that Daniel was in his 80s when Daniel 12 was written. And the thinking is that Daniel as much as he wanted to go back to and saw the prophecies of Jerusalem, he never, ever returned to Jerusalem. That he more than likely died in Babylon, because he's not a part of the return list at all. So he's an old man. And through a series of chapters, Daniel tells us over and over again, and I know you know so many of those, Daniel in the lion's den, and the fiery furnace, and that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these revealing prophecies, yet often the prophecies for others through dreams, but for his own dreams, often in the book, and I invite you to read it, those dreams he could not interpret for himself. It's very interesting, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned. Much of the prophecy centers on Medo-Persia, and then Greece and succeeding conquests. And some of the details have been confirmed historically. Chapter 8, which we've just finished recently, has got unbelievable historical corroboration. It is a fascinating book. Daniel, in multiple chapters in the book, you'll remember this, refers to a very mysterious, and he uses this phrase, abomination of
desolation.
You've read the book. That's good. And it seems to me there is a series of these abominations of desolations that concerns the destruction of the temple, the utter destruction of the temple, the sacrifices ceasing and judgment, and then sacrifices resuming. So let's turn. Chapter 12 and verse 1 of Daniel. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Now remember who's writing this, who it's being read to. Note very carefully the pronouns that are used, right? The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Now in my Bible, in the New King James, it's in quotations. So someone is speaking. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Remember that phrase. Even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. At that time is a critical phrase in the book of Daniel. It means specific timestamp. Michael the archangel, Michael is named in the book of Daniel, obviously. There's also another angel that's named in the book of Daniel for the very first time. No other book in the Old Testament names angels. What's the other angel name? Who said Fred? Somebody say Gabriel? Yeah, okay, but the guy that said Fred, say the loudest Gabriel. No, it's Gabriel. So Michael is to stand up. When an angel stands up, it's not good. He's going to proclaim something. He's going to do something. So these are phrases that Daniel uses that his people knew at the time. And we'll see why. He's one of two archangels ever mentioned both in the book of Daniel. It is the time of the end. Again, another phrase that's often used by Daniel and is in context. It sometimes is the end of a ruler. It sometimes means the end of a kingdom or an era. Here it relates to the very end time, as we shall see. A trouble as there has never been before is a phrase that should remind you of something in the New Testament. It means this is big. This has never happened before. It will never happen again like this. It's big. So this phrase is used, and we're going to return to that later in the New Testament. He then says, your people, Daniel's people, that are written in the book will be delivered. There's a lot here. We've only read verse 1. It is a horrible time. The time has come for God's people. The angel Michael, who watches over Israel. That's another very interesting aspect, that they think that angels, spirit beings, were given charge to watch over certain groups of people. The book is opened. People from God are delivered. They're rescued. They escape. What book? This book? No. There is a book, only one such book. Where it's found, we won't turn there. Again, more homework if you'd like to. It's first referenced in Exodus chapter 32, verse 31, with the golden calf incident. You remember the golden calf incident, right? It's not a good period of Israel's history. They make the golden calf. Moses finds out about it. God is furious. He's beyond furious. He then wants to do what? He wants to destroy all of Israel. Why? Why am I doing this, God says? Why am I leading these people, this rebellious, ignorant people? I'll blot them out and I'll start over. Moses said, no, Don't do that. The Egyptians will say we have failed. In fact, they'll say you have failed. You have failed. It will bring disgrace on all of us, and including you. Blot me out of your book. This is first reference, overt reference. Don't blot out the people. In the Psalms and the prophets and in the New Testament, it is a book of remembrances. It is a book of records of people's names. These are the people that will be delivered. Verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Two groups of people are contrasted here. Those that are written in the book shall awake from death to everlasting life. And we know this as, it was mentioned earlier, we know it as the resurrection. From dead and buried, to life. A new, fully renewed life is a resurrection. Some will not. It is a difficult verse. It is hard to explain. We'd be speculating to say more. That doesn't stop a lot of commentaries, funny enough. It makes total incoherence. It's an enigmatic verse. I'll leave it at that. The remaining verses are interesting, and if you do read the book of Daniel, there is often a pattern to the visions that Daniel has. First, there is the vision or the dream. Then it is sealed preliminarily as it's somewhat complete. Daniel usually asks questions. Angelic assistance is requested, so an angel is involved. He has more questions. The angel tries to explain. Here Daniel, as we'll see at the end of this chapter, is told to go your way. Move on. Move on. And he is still not given full understanding. It's a very interesting concept and order of events, and it's sealed to the very end. Verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood others, one on the riverbank. It's another very common theme of these beings near water, maybe straddling or nearby on banks of a river. One on this riverbank, and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed. Notice he switched. Then I heard. This is Daniel speaking. Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand. Now picture that in your mind. I mean, Daniel, throughout this book, tries to paint picture after picture after picture. So he's got a being with both hands raised right and left to heaven. He swore by him who lives forever that there shall be for times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, watch this, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Verse 9, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the day of the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Verse 13. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. You will arise to your inheritance. The inference, again, is very, very clear. It's all about being in the book. It's all about being written in this book. Nothing happens without being in this book. It's always important. When you read this through, and I invite you to read, if you have the time, it's 12 chapters, but some of the chapters are quite short. They're quite important. And it's understandable that the book figures in this last chapter so importantly. What's also interesting for the Jews, this is the day the book is opened. Again, the saying is, may you be inscribed in the book of life. Where we would disagree with them about the idea and the concept and how it all started, and when they came to the word Rosh Hashanah, it's a separate topic, not sermon topic, we would agree with them because Daniel speaks about this concept of a new life, of an angel standing up and the books being opened. This is so critical to this day. It's all about being in the book. But there's also this phrase that we mentioned earlier that links what we're speaking about here today and something in the New Testament. Verse 11, and from that day the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up. This is almost like a linchpin. So many times this phrase is used. It ties us to another prophecy and to the revealing during the end time. So let's turn to a set of verses, and I'm going to ask another favor. I'm sorry. These are verses you know. You may even be ahead of me. Please turn to Matthew 24. So here's the favor. I want you to pretend. I want you to imagine that you've never really read these verses before. I know. Big stretch. Big stretch. So I can't ask you to do that. You can't. There's no way you can not imagine. That'd be kind of lying to yourself. It's got to be like a double commandment breaking. To lie and to lie to yourself. So what I'm going to ask you, here's the real favor. Read this as if you were the audience. It was being written, as we heard before, it was written to you. You were there. Place yourself in the recipient's seat. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do. It's in the first century. It's near or right on top of Jerusalem, near the temple. I want you to look at the terms that are being used, the switching of names by the speaker. And you know who the speaker is. It's Jesus Christ. It's written in the third person, then the first person, then the third person again. He switches back and forth. He uses terms. He introduces new terms, dispenses with the old one, and renames himself. Chapter 24, verse 1 through 14. We'll call this the setup. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now that they understood. No problem. Verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? This is back to, we've gotten journalism twice here. Instead of the multiple W's, who, when, where, what, and why, we only need two. They only asked for two. Big two. When and what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus answered and said to them, now look for the word sign. It's a very definite Greek word. Sign, translated the word sign. See again where it pops up, where he finally gets to answering the question. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, seeing that you are not troubled. Yeah. Seeing that you have wars and rumors of wars, what does he then say? This is so ignored, even by those in the church. You hear of wars, see that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. Well, let's see. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. Doesn't mention locusts. So, okay. Anyway, we can move on. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. I got one for you. It was 11:30 last night. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Just the beginning. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Now remember who he's speaking to. He's speaking to the disciples. You're going to die. You're going to die. And then verse 10, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise, They will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. This is the prelude. This is the setup. Has Jesus Christ answered the question yet? No, he has not. He hasn't even gotten close. We got a little bit idea about when, but we got no what. What is the sign of your coming? In 14 verses, in my New King James, in 14 verses, has he said the answer? No, he has not. Let's keep reading, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, this is an aside by Matthew. It's in, if you have a red letter edition, it's in what color? This next verse. It's in black. Whoever reads, let him understand. The translators deemed that this was written by Matthew. Whether it's true or not, hard to say. Verse 16. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. I mean, he is being so specific here. Utterly specific. Verse 19, but woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Quick point. If you're not keeping the Sabbath, this doesn't apply to you. But these people were. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or the Sabbath. For there will be great tribulation, such as this has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. Where is that from? It's from Daniel chapter 12. Almost word for word, Hebrew to Greek. This has never happened before. Since the beginning of the world. That means since day one, whenever that was, to this point, this is the worst. This is the absolute worst in the history of humanity. Since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be, nor will it be after this. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Notice that word, elect. For the elect's sake. Who are the elect to Daniel? Those that are written in the book. Those that are written in the book. In this section, he gives us more details. He tells us about the abomination of desolation, spoken of by whom? Daniel the prophet. So it's tied to Daniel. Daniel uses this phrase, abomination of desolation, some four times, possibly a fifth. You can Google it. Trust me. Verse 21, again, ties this further to Daniel. It's a time of tribulation, not such before, nor ever will be again. In Joel chapter 2, verse 2, that phrase is used again for the very end time. He now will give us more detail. Jesus, just like the angel to Daniel, will give more detail. And again, he uses specific terminology to a specific person, and watch the change in terms. Verse 23, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs or messiahs, false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even those written in the book. See, I have told you beforehand. In other words, you've been warned. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Notice that he is now using the word Christ or Messiah repeatedly, a key term, that identifies him in their ears to the disciples. They identify the speaker, Jesus, as the Messiah. And then also Jesus talks about himself in the third person, this Messiah. Well, it means me. Notice he doesn't use the word me. They may look for me in the desert. I'm not there. They may look for me here. I'm not there. There will be false prophets. But this more detail, I want you to think about who are the false messiahs and false prophets. A false messiah is someone who claims to be the Messiah, a savior, a redeemer. And they're not. They're a liar. What's a false prophet? One who tells you something's going to happen, maybe even gives you a date, and that date does not occur. I want you to read Deuteronomy 22 to the fate of a false prophet who gives out dates, gives out timelines, and they don't come to pass. It is an extremely serious charge because you are lying to God's people. You need to be very, very careful with the things that you read, especially what's out on the internet. I warn you ahead of time. Be careful, be careful, be careful, because they're out there. He uses the word signs again for the first time in answer to the question. False messiahs, false prophets, they are false signs. In the next few verses, Jesus changes terms again. He uses the terms of Daniel and Ezekiel. A very interestingly debated topic, in fact. So let's read verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Notice the change. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Verse 30. Then the sign, there's the word, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. Do you remember the end of chapter 25 that Mr. Miller read? I want you to read that maybe later today. It's the same refrain. You will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his people written in the book. His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. By the way, this says very clearly, who are the elect written in the book? All over the world. Who decides? The guy who owns the book. The guy that writes in the book. Maybe the two guys that write in the book. They own the book. They decide who is in the book. They decide who God's elect are. And in fact, he says, they gather them from all over the world, from one end of heaven to the other. It's a very common expression, from east to west. We'd say from New York to L.A., around the world, everywhere, the four compass points. They select, they resurrect the elect with the sound of a trumpet, as we've heard earlier today. There is no doubt about it. This concept of the Son of Man is interesting. Jesus, in verse 27, re-identifies himself with the term used in Daniel. If you remember Daniel 7, we won't turn there. I'm going to ask you just to remember. And if you don't remember Daniel 7, look it up. Where it's a throne room in heaven. And the Ancient of Days is sitting on a throne. And there are other thrones. And one like the, remember the phrase? Son of Man approaches the Ancient of Days. So this imagery of Daniel, of Son of Man, is throughout the New Testament. But there's only one person that calls Jesus the Son of Man. Do you know who that person is? Jesus Christ. He calls himself over and over and over. In this section alone, I think it's some 7 or 8 times, he calls himself the Son of Man. It is a catchphrase. It's an important phrase. Like lightning he shall appear, the heavens shall be shaken, the Son of Man will appear. The same word again is used. There's that word sign. He comes in the clouds. He comes in the clouds with a trump, the sound of a trumpet. We again infer that it is a trumpet of an angel. Daniel gives us a good indication. It is Michael. And he gathers his elect, those written in the book. All these terms, if you were a disciple, would have been very, very familiar to you. None of the phrasing he would use would be, what does that mean? What is that concept? They would fully understand. They knew the prophecies of Daniel. It's one of the most oft-quoted books in the New Testament. They knew it very well. The Son of Man, clouds, kingdom, opening of the book. It is the revealing of the King, the righteous judge, the King Messiah, the deliverer. And those in the book have been given eternal life. But it doesn't occur until the King returns. Nothing happens before the king's revealing. Nothing happens until the revealing of the king as the Savior. Why is this important? Well, between the offering and the first message, you've heard it hinted at and expressed repeatedly. It is one of our distinctives. One of our distinctive, in fact, our most distinctive teaching. And it is this. We believe that the plan of God is exemplified in Christ in the holy days. Not some of the holy days, not most of the holy days. Every one of the holy days, Jesus Christ is in that holy day. He surely is in this one. He self-identifies in chapter 24 of Matthew. He is that Son of Man who comes. He is the Messiah. It is on trumpets. It is a distinctive. But in Matthew, he may be telling us something we are missing and focusing. As we enter the fall holy days, we are reminded by Paul in 2 Timothy 4:8. If you'd like to turn there, you may. I'll read it in summary. He tells us this crown has been laid up for him and for others. The Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, will come and will give to all who love his appearing. Who love his appearing. Brethren, I hate to break it to you. I have no clue when Christ is returning. Here's the other truth. Neither does anyone else. If they tell you they know, guess what? They don't know. It is a lie. It is a lie. Be careful what you read. We don't know. But based on what I can see and what I hear, again, no one has a clue. Though we can all see signs and we should watch and be aware, especially when there's earthquakes 50 miles away from you, hint, hint, hint. Whereas we all need to watch and understand, that's important. I kid you not, though. I called my sister. She lives 5 miles from the epicenter. She said, "John, I got a jolt. You got the wave." I said, "Somehow it seemed like a jolt and a wave to me." But she said, someone said to her, "When are the locusts coming?" She's right near the fires. She's obviously suffering with the masks and the plague. When are the locusts arriving? We may say wrongly, "My Lord delays his coming." My Lord delays his coming. Or we can say, God is in control and we can hope. We can focus on our desires and our prophecies. We can focus on that we are so important. Have you ever noticed the prophetic events given by a false prophet always include their day? Well, looky there. The return of Christ is in my lifetime. Isn't that amazing how that always happens? It always seems to happen when the prophet is alive. And then they have to change the date again and again and again. We can focus that we are so important, Christ must return now. Brethren, be careful what you hope for. Be careful what you pray for. It is a horrible, horrible time. We can pull out our phones, or pull out our Android and our iPhone, and we can say, "When will Christ return?" Try that sometime. Siri, when will Jesus return? If Siri doesn't know, no one knows. Google Assistant, however, does seem to know. I'm kidding. But Google it. I'm going to ask you one last favor. This is a very delicate request. I know but we're friends, aren't we? You won't see me for a few months, I'm sure. They may not want to. I want you to touch your hand with your hand. Don't touch your neighbor's hand. Especially if you don't know them that well. I want you to touch your hand. What do you feel? Flesh. Skin. You can feel blood or see. Older I get, I can see more and more blood. Right? I see bone. Physical. One day, that will be no more. It will change. It will change to something Very glorious. In fact, it'll happen on this day. The entire universe will change irrevocably, irreversibly. It will change forever. This is the day, to borrow from James Burke's excellent series, it is the day the universe changes. It is the revealing of the King, Jesus Christ, on the Day of Trumpets, this day. Whereas we do not know when, we do know that those who have died in the faith throughout time know nothing of this world we live in. They could not imagine it if they died 100, 200, 300 years ago. But their next waking moment will be in the air. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Ezekiel, as is stated at the end of the book, Daniel's next waking moment will be to know the revealing of the King. They first, followed by us who are alive, will see the King revealed. So what does this day tell us? As we've heard, we need to be watchful, mindful, to be sure. It will happen, and I guess you're not even going to understand this analogy, but we sure do up north. It will happen like a thief in the night. It will happen like an earthquake at 11:30 at night when you least expect it. We are to also comprehend the concept of the sovereignty of God. It is His book. It is Jesus Christ's book. They decide whose name is written in the book. Thank goodness. Thank goodness it's not me. I'm a human being. Thank goodness it is God. It is His book. He is the King. It is His kingdom. His book. It is His watch. It's His timetable. He sets the order of events. We are to go about the King's business, a person who is expectant, as we heard Mr. Starwars in the first message, hopeful and excited that we are aware of the truth. We are not frantic. We hope. We should pray that to love is appearing, that one day we will see it, that the day the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will be revealed. And your universe will change forever. I pray earnestly that we are all inscribed in the book.